On October 2nd, Mark Mone was inaugurated as the ninth chancellor at the UW-Milwaukee. So it's time for a newsmaker's interview. Chancellor Mone, thank you for sitting down with Wisconsin Eye.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
In your speech, you said, we really don't know what the future holds for UW-Milwaukee. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, well, really, I think that comment pertains to higher education.
Okay.
You know, it's really the context of higher education, especially public higher education today. What we've seen over the last decade is declining support in terms of financial support and to some extent, you know, questions about what is the role of higher education. There's alternatives, there's technology, there's online learning, there's corporate, you know, private sector, for-profit universities. There's alternatives. There's some small evidence, you know, about people even attending college at all. When you look at demographics, you look at you know, the competitive aspects.
So, there's MOOCs and the debate over student loans and all this. So
yeah.
I can understand why you said that.
Yeah. So that's really the context.
Well, let's talk about one aspect of that. When I look up the cut in state aid to this institution. Your one-year cut in state aid, sir, was 15.9%. So what did that translate to in terms of cuts on this campus, sir?
So what we're doing is looking at immediate short-term cuts around travel, all unnecessary travel, looking at our first and second-year cuts in a much more intense focus on administrative areas, support areas, as opposed to trying to preserve what's critical around student contact, education and research areas. So we're looking at holding off really a freeze on all our hiring, except in very clear strategic areas as we look at in a very urgent manner, what is the right structure, what are the right areas in which we can gain efficiencies, and really what's our future areas going to be for us to really be able to strengthen. And then what are those areas that we can't continue to try to be everything to everybody. So it's a lot of introspection right now, a lot of discussion, as well as at every school and college figuring out what are the critical priorities. And but at this point, cutting everything in areas that we can to absorb those types of cuts.
Have you lost faculty? Have you dropped classes? Do you contemplate dropping some programs, sir?
We've had some attrition. We've had, and we do that every year in terms of the faculty turnover and faculty loss. There are some faculty who have left, some people who've received offers elsewhere, and that hurts. In many of those instances we counter, but the offers are either so extravagant, and these are oftentimes some of our best people. I wouldn't say it's a rush, but there are some that have occurred over the last few years. It's not just this year. But it's hard for people to say, especially if you're that rising star, if you're really truly research productive. This is a national and even international labor market. So our faculty are very attractive to a lot of other campuses. As far as other concerns for the future, that's a critical component. So we have to do everything we can to make sure that we've got a strong, clear message going out about what are going to be the priorities and how we continue to stay strong in research and teaching areas.
Well, just elaborating on that, what do you think UWM does the best now? And so consequently, as you look into the future, what do you think it has got to stay strong in, sir?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, our history and what we've really tried to focus on is two primary areas. One is to be an access, urban access, research-oriented university. So if you put the access in, you look at, you know, across our 14 schools and colleges, we really want to serve the Milwaukee area population. About 90% of our students come from Wisconsin, and the majority of those come from southeastern Wisconsin. We have the remaining 10% come from primarily the surrounding Midwest states, but predominantly it's Illinois, some from Minnesota. And the other 5%, so about half international, half non-resident. But 90% of our students, and then accordingly about 163,000 alumni, live in southeastern Wisconsin, and they predominantly stay here. So one of the core strengths is the talent pipeline that draws from the urban population, access public public, affordable higher education that I get letters every day when I visit with our alumni groups. Every day the message that I hear is that's your core strength. You've got to continue to preserve that. The challenge is, if you look at the profile of an access institution, even a higher ed access institution, the remediation becomes an expensive proposition because you have more like a 2-year college in some ways. You know, you have high cost of remediation.
Yes.
And so the retention issues become harder, graduation rates are harder because of the population that we serve. Now that said, I would put our top half of our classes up against any campus anywhere. It's just a really strong student population, but we also have the access. So that, how we do that, how we partner, for example, with 2-year colleges, UW colleges, as well as MATC, those are areas that we're in deep discussion with right now in terms of how we do that on a more affordable basis for the students, but also something that might lighten the burden for our financial model. So that's one area. The second is the unique part of UW-Milwaukee compared to all the other institutions in the UW system, other than Madison, is that we're the urban doctoral research university. The challenge there is we have, again, an expensive proposition. Research, by its very nature, is expensive. Graduate students at the doctoral level require financial support, and where most students pay tuition, doctoral students, you provide. In a competitive marketplace, you provide RA and TA support, research assistants, teaching assistants, and then those students do research and they teach classes, and so they earn their pay in that regard. But that's an expensive proposition, plus you have smaller class sizes as compared to a 100 or 200 level class. So a research university is expensive, and an access university is expensive, and those are unique compared to virtually any other school. Madison is a deep research one. We're research one, but we also have the access mission. And you don't have as much access focus in the other UW system schools. But those are the reasons why Milwaukee evolved that way. UW-Milwaukee is because of the specific needs in this part of the state. So going forward, we have to focus. We can't be everything to everybody. We can't do research at all high levels of fidelity across the entire campus enterprise. We're going to have to pick our spaces, and we're going to have to organize in a manner that supports those. Every school and college will have a place, but how we are organized and how we prioritize and say, is it in these 3 to 5 key areas? Is it around? And I don't want to name what those areas would be, because whatever I name today would interfere with the processes that we have in place. And I'd be happy to talk about what we're doing and the steps that we're taking. But it's something that we have to be cold, clear, analytical, and say, in the context of the environment that we're in, we need to approach this in a very clear-headed, strategic-focused area or way.
If I was looking at a demographic profile of your freshmen, would they be older? Would they have less family income? Would they be more racially mixed than, say, Madison or some of the other four-year schools?
We're the most diverse campus across the UW system by far. We have 30% of our first-year class is of color, and that number will likely continue to grow. Our overall campus has a 40%, our overall undergraduate population, 40% first generation. The income is lower. We have a higher percentage of Pell Grant recipients, higher percentage of students who meet all sorts of eligibility requirements for loans and grants. The student age is one where I noticed that when I came to Milwaukee in 89, it was noticeably different because we had that working age population. And I looked into the numbers, and I think it still holds true. Our graduates, undergraduates, are typically about a year and a half to 2 years older than a traditional 4-year undergraduate. So our students graduate 23, 24, where a lot of students 22. Our graduate students, similarly, early 30s is the average graduate student age. So it is a different student profile.
Because of these unique needs, when your GPR subsidy is cut 15.9%, do you think there was not a recognition of the special mission of this urban campus, sir?
Well, what's interesting.
Was your cut too big, given your mission?
Yeah. Let me say that we, by virtue of, I think both the Regents and especially UW system, President cross and others in the system, we did get actually a better cut, a better percentage, and more favorable than several other institutions. For the first time, if you look at the way the cut was allocated across this biennial budget and the 2 different years, mm-hmm. we came out actually pretty well relative to our other UW system institutions. Now, so in that regard, I would say there is recognition of our special mission. The fact that we have the relationships that we have with so many organizations, a lot of companies come to us because of our research. A lot of organizations engage with us, not just the for-profit, but I'm talking about not-for-profit and healthcare and manufacturing across the board. And they really look at that research engine and recognize that, you know, Wisconsin, compared to Ohio, compared to Texas or other states, has really multiple areas that are economic drivers. If you go to Ohio or Pennsylvania and other states, you'll find there's major cities, multiple cities that all drive them. In Wisconsin, it's Milwaukee as the large driver. Madison is clearly, you know, the tech sector and emerging and rising. But as far as to drive the overall state in terms of where the population is, where the commerce is, you know, if it's a deal of 100 million or more, the financials, the transportation, much of it is coming through Milwaukee. And you know that from the legal sector, the banking, financial, manufacturing. A lot of it is here. Companies here in energy, companies here in water, companies here in all different manufacturing, financial services, and others have deep, strong relationships. And they provided a lot of support. When we've gone to the legislature, when we've gone to the regents, they're leading the way. Oftentimes it's that part. And so that's helped us this year for this biennial budget more than we have ever received support in the past. And just as an example, there's some one-time funds. As you'll recall, the original proposed cut to the UW system was 300.
Yes.
And when that got backed off to 250,
right.
What actually happened was that the 300 cut went through, and then how that was backed off was differentially backed off. We received in the UW system the most favorable amount, unprecedented for UW-Milwaukee to have received that. All that said, it's a tremendous cut. It's tough. And it's on the heels of a series of other budget cuts over the last several biennium budgets, tuition freeze, and some enrollment decline. So it puts us in tough straits.
With your background in business management then, how are you going to go forth with a business management plan in light of the tuition freeze, the cut in the state aid. So, using your background, drawing.
Yeah.
So, what emerging game plan or operating plan are you going to set forth for the next few years, sir?
It comes down to taking. I'll tell you everything I've learned from my industry background, as well as all the work that I've done in consulting and teaching and a lot of engagements with organizations and what I do. It's going to take all that knowledge and a lot more to really help us successfully navigate. What I do is I combine that with also a good understanding of, after having been at UW-Milwaukee for almost 27 years, valuing faculty governance, valuing all our shared governance, and recognizing that, you know, this isn't an environment where I can just make all the decisions and drive it forward. So the first step has really been engagement and putting together a group of individuals that are working and understanding, having them completely understand what are we facing, because there's been denial. There's been individuals who feel like, well, you know, there's been, you know, negative perspectives about, oh, why us and all of that. But just sharing the facts and the reality. So trying to get that established first. So then identifying through a lot of participation, what are the priorities that are going to strengthen, that are going to meet the needs of the state, that are going to help continue to make Wisconsin, you know, prosperous in terms of job growth and economic development and providing a workforce that's well-trained, not just a workforce for today's jobs, but one that we pride ourselves in, where students have a background that their job may not be around in 3 or 5 years. It may be a different type of future that none of us can really predict. What are the different jobs? They haven't been invented yet. Mm-hmm. So we want to have students that are well-rounded, have a good understanding of critical thinking, great skill set to handle the future. And so to position UW in a manner that's organized optimally, that asks questions that we're asking right now. We have 14 schools and colleges. We're asking questions that have never been asked on this campus before. Is that the right size, the right structure? How do we meet the future in a manner that gives us the agility, nimbleness, and a forward-thinking orientation? We have to lean out. We're going to have to cut our expenses. We're going to have to grow our revenues. In what areas? And that's where I've asked this group to engage and to come back to me by February of 2016 with an alternative set of recommendations. We will bring many different groups together during the course of this process. We've been engaging the campus in already a half a dozen open listening sessions. I got an additional set of long set of recommendations today from a senior faculty member. All that gets fed into this process, and we will ultimately have clear areas of strength. We will have focus goals. We'll have metrics associated with those. And I can tell you, we're not going to lose sight of our student success, our research excellence, and community engagement. Those are the guiding core strategic areas that have to be preserved. Student success, we have to get better at graduation and retention. We have to improve the quality of the education experience, and we have to better prepare students for the future in terms of their careers or research, you know, research graduate school types of opportunities. In research excellence, we have to focus on those areas that matter, that really have impact. And we've got significant depth, significant expertise in many, many areas. How do we preserve that, keep everybody feeling valued, but elevate some of the priorities? And community engagement is a UW-Milwaukee hallmark. We were recognized earlier this year for being a Carnegie Engaged Classified University. Hundreds of partnerships in so many different areas, and that's what I really enjoy and know we do well. But they are built on a foundation of having successful students and research excellence, research that really matters. And then you get the partners that naturally want to engage.
Well, drawing on your business experience, did the governor have it right in February when he recommended spinning off the UW system, giving them autonomy? Should we revisit that discussion because it would give an institution like yours more flexibility and control over its destiny, sir?
You know, I like many aspects of flexibility. I like many elements of autonomy. My concern is how long it would take to get there, and the way that it was positioned, not by the governor, but just the way that the mechanics would have worked through, it would have taken a long time to get there, and we probably wouldn't have had some of the autonomies at a level that would have enabled us to move forward. So we can do, and for example, around procurement, if we had pure unfettered procurement possibilities, but we don't need to be spun out of the system to do that. We can make that type of change, and many parts of the university system are doing that today. So we don't need to be decoupled. To look at state, the removal from bonding for DOA types of building projects. Well, we don't need to be outside of a state to do that as well. We can work through that. There's ways to expedite that. The concern at the time around autonomy, and I think we're moving through this in different ways, is around some of the tenure and academic freedom. If we can preserve those, because those are hallmarks in higher education, if we can preserve those, I do think we need to be more nimble. I do think flexibility and autonomy are important. It's in how they're done.
There's a whole debate nationally over campus safety. How safe is this campus? Because it's been an issue. You've seen some attacks on the periphery of the campus. How safe is your campus, sir?
Yeah, you know, our campus is, you know, look, we're in Milwaukee, and I have to tell you that in Milwaukee, we have one of the safest neighborhoods, and we shared this data recently. We showed that there's a 30% decline over the last 2 years in robberies in the two neighborhoods around this campus in the urban environment. Our aggravated assaults have been down significantly in one neighborhood. They've maintained a very low number in another neighborhood. But this is a very safe campus. The incidents on this campus are very rare. In the neighborhood surrounding this, it's a safe, very safe neighborhood. We have a lot of faculty, staff, and of course many thousands of students who live in the neighborhood surrounding this area. So I want to be very clear, this UW-Milwaukee campus is incredibly safe.
There's also a debate that recently surfaced over this term that I hope I get it right, microaggression, that has surfaced on this campus. Is this part of the faculty initiative, or is this a student initiative? This is where certain words are considered offensive, sir.
Yeah.
Can you give me the background on that?
Yeah, a little background is that this is a national development. The microaggression campaign actually came out of, I can't remember if it was UCLA or Stanford, that many campuses have adopted. We have this at many leading universities around the country that have adopted this. This is not something that's funded by tuition or state tax dollars. This is student seg fees, and the students have supported what we call in our academic, it's Inclusive Excellence Center. So in the Inclusive Excellence Center, that's where they've put together some materials, and they've adopted this program that from several other universities called Just Words. And so that's part of that campaign, that we're seeing a lot of attention to that nationally. We as a campus promote free speech. We are not in any way, from a university perspective, supporting anything that would impose on any free speech on our campus or anywhere else. But there are some students who've raised, I think, valid concerns about, you know, certain words can be harmful, certain words can be, so there's some suggestions that the campaign has put forward.
Are there some words and phrases that shouldn't be used on the campus because they are offensive, sir?
That's never been something that we have advocated from a campus perspective. This is from the Inclusive Excellence Center, a poster of some suggested words to be sensitive to be aware of. There's no banned words on this campus in any form whatsoever.
Does this debate, is this a distraction as you continue to work on partnerships with the Rockwells and the GE and your other corporate partners?
I haven't seen it to that level at all. There's been no mention of this in the context of any of the relationships, and I spend time with those and many other companies virtually daily. And I think that even in corporate environments, people have an understanding that there's you know, in a diverse and inclusive environment, there is a need to be sensitive to words or phrases or things that may have been used yesterday in a different context. But we're not in any way banning, advocating for a campaign that says this is a set of words or perspectives that are not welcome. We welcome all perspectives and use of language is something that we're advocates of in terms of free speech.
Let's move to tuition. When the four-year freeze on tuition comes off, are you worried that the next round of tuition increases will disenfranchise some of your older freshmen and those with less income? And you said 30% of your students are of color. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about the next round of tuition increases?
You know, I'm on the tuition setting task force for the UW system, and we know we won't have tuition increases this year or next year for our undergraduate resident tuition payments. We are trying to develop a rational, comprehensive approach to tuition going forward for the UW system, assuming that we have some discussion and flexibility that's based on really some healthy dialogue, education on both sides of this with the legislature and them continuing to share their concerns. This is not going to be a case where we have runaway high levels of tuition going forward in the future. If you look across the UW system from the early 2000s to the early 2012, before the tuition freeze, the average rate across the system was between 6% and 7% in terms of tuition increases. I do not anticipate seeing that again across the board. What I would say is that for certain areas where there's high cost programs, and again, hesitant to name, but let's just say in areas of business or engineering or things where you have more expenses involved, you might see some either surcharges or additional program fees that may be involved. Overall tuition increases, we have to look at in some areas, but we may look at tuition decreases in some other areas. We may look at being very creative and saying, look, the state needs to have more nurses, more people in healthcare. That's the most critical need as we look at the next 5 to 10 years. Engineers are close to that, certain engineers more than others. But what about IT professionals? What about individuals in education, teacher education in the next 5 years we're going to see? And we've already seen a decline in students going into that. And you just go out a few more years and you'll see these pockets. Do we look at for certain programs lowering tuition? And as I mentioned earlier, what I'd like to do at UWM is look at some options where we could potentially have a college within a college. And what I mean by that is for the first 2 years, looking at a model where we have, whether it's again with a UW college type of approach or an MATC, the possibility of coming in at a lower price point for our students, helping them with time to degree, helping them with areas that that have expertise in remediation. So that's an area to be examined that would help with the cost for the student. You know, the national student debt is a huge issue. And our students graduate with over 30,000, just like the national average, over 30,000 in student loans and debt. We have to address that. So I don't see the UW system going down a path of having ever high levels of tuition increase again. Now, in areas where it's needed, in areas where there is demand, that's what we have to look through.
Well, just two final questions. Following up on that, when you say we have to act on student debt, should that be the state of Wisconsin acting, some national action? And if it were up to you, what action should be taken on the very large student debt problem, sir?
I think the key is going to be reducing time to degree, enabling students to graduate with lower debt loads. I think that's something where campuses have to look at that very carefully and say, what can we do to you know, I won't go so far as to say guarantee getting through in 4 years, but providing additional scholarship assistance, and that's a critical priority here at UWM, to look at ways in which we can help students not take extra time, but really spend focused time in the right areas with good advising and making sure that we do everything we can to help students graduate with as little debt as possible.
Would it be in the best national interest if some of that debt was just written off and forgiven?
It could be. I don't know how that would happen. Where would that funding come from?
That's true.
And that I leave for the higher level, different level of folks to help figure that out in terms of, you know, who and how would that be absorbed, because those loans have been made by banks, by financial institutions, the government, and others, and I don't know how they could write that off. But I look at this, I guess, in a prospective manner going forward. What can we do? What's and we have a responsibility to help reduce that student loan debt.
And then my final question is, look out over the next 4 years. What in this changing environment, less state aid, tuition freeze, what are your, I'm going to use a business term, what are your deliverables as chancellor over the next 4 years? When we are doing this interview 4 years from now, what do you hope to achieve, sir?
Yeah, I hope, and I'll take it a step further. I hope when we look back in 3 to 5 years, we, UW-Milwaukee, we're looking at a more focused, clear set of priorities. This campus stands for a set of concrete, achievable activities that have even greater impact on students, impact on the communities, and the state overall, that people look at and understand the brand of UWM is excellence in quality education. Our students continue to have the great success they have in terms of the transition to the workforce, and that our research that matters is seen as a huge economic driver in so many different areas. So those are the things that are critically important to me. I don't have that plan at this point. These challenges are new. It's been a real honor and a thrill to be in this situation. So that's what I look forward to.
And just a very quick follow-up, does that mean 3-5 years out, you anticipate less undergrads and grad students, a smaller student body, sir?
We may be a more focused and smaller campus, but not necessarily. I don't know at this point. You know, our peak enrollment in 2010 for this campus in its history was about 30,100 students. We today are at 27,200 students. So we've gradually declined. Now we're following demographics. If we continue to follow demographics, we're anticipating, for the next 10 years, a smaller decline, a modest decline, but generally flat. We see that African American, Caucasian student flat to declining in terms of high school graduates. We see Hispanic high school graduation rates continuing to grow over the next 10 years. Asian Americans, a slight increase. So we'll continue to see overall about the same numbers of high school graduates, and my prediction is that this campus is going to be at this level, maybe a little bit lower in terms of Wisconsin, and maybe a little bit more in terms of out-of-state and international. That would be the mix that I'd see.
Chancellor, thanks very much for talking to Wisconsin. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Pleasure.